Jesus' other sheep. It's the title of my sermon today. Jesus' other sheep. I have read this passage about the good shepherd many times. I have read verse 16 many times. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I've read these verses, as I said, many times, and somehow, in the wake of all that has occurred over the past several years, the words, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, seem to carry more weight for me. Perhaps it is because of the recent verdict in Minnesota and the notion that it might have taken a video and protests across this country and across the world to get some folk to see that some of us have troubling and deadly interactions with law enforcement. Perhaps the recent increase in hate crimes and violence against Asian Americans and deadly encounters with law enforcement has brought more attention for me to the concept of otherness in this country and around the world. Perhaps my own lived experience as a black man in America have made me constantly aware of my own otherness and the negative reactions to my otherness. Perhaps it is the testimony of Stacey Abrams about the impact of Georgia's voting laws upon black and minority communities raising again for me the issue of otherness. Perhaps that is why Jesus' statement, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, I must bring them also, spoke to me. When you're not a part of the group, when you're not in the original sheep pen, you become keenly aware of your own otherness. And sometimes that awareness leaves you feeling left out, leaves you feeling judged, leaves you feeling like you're inferior, leaves you feeling out of place, and leaves you feeling not included. So when Jesus addresses the other sheep, those not in the original sheep pen, he opens the door to hope, and he gets my attention. Jesus talks about the other sheep that he has in the context of his message today about the good shepherd. You have to follow what he says. First, Jesus contrasts the good shepherd with the hired hand. The text says again, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. When Jesus says good shepherd, the word suggests a model or true shepherd. So Jesus says, I am the good, the model shepherd. Jesus is the model. Jesus is the true shepherd. If you read the entire chapter of the 10th chapter of John, you will see that Jesus mentions thieves and robbers who threaten the sheep. But in this section, he contrasts this good shepherd with the hired hand. He says, I am the model shepherd. I am the true shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The hired hand, he says, does not own the sheep. And so when a predator threatens the sheep, the hired hand abandons the sheep. The hired hand does not care for the sheep. The hired hand cares for himself. And this harkens back to God's criticism of priestly leadership in Israel mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 34. When Jesus mentions the hired hand, he's speaking about false teachers and leaders who abuse and abandon the sheep. So he said, there's a hired hand. He doesn't own the sheep. And because he doesn't own it, the sheep, he doesn't care about them. You know, this isn't on my paper. I know about a situation when folk don't own stuff. And when they don't own it, they don't take care of it. They don't care about it. I've got outside my garage a keypad that can open the garage. Somehow it got broken. And I don't use the keypad, but there are two people who live at my house who use the keypad. And somehow it got broken. Maybe this is a sermon for them today. This is a commercial for my kids. But anyway, when you don't own something, you have a different attitude toward it. When it belongs to you, you have a different way of caring for it. That's the hired hand. Jesus says the good shepherd, in contrast, cares about the sheep because the sheep belong to him. He owns the sheep. He knows the sheep, and the sheep know his voice. The sheep are familiar with the good shepherd. Why are they familiar with the good shepherd? Because the good shepherd is around them. He shows up when he's supposed to show up. He takes care of them. He leads them to pasture. He leads them to places to get water. They're familiar with the good shepherd. And instead of fleeing the wolf, the good shepherd, the Bible says, is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd understands the cost of caring for the sheep. The cost sometimes is that the good shepherd might have to face the predator. And if you're in the pen with the good shepherd, you're in good shape. Because who wouldn't want a shepherd like that? When you think about this contrast between the good shepherd and the hired hand, you might say that the NCAA basketball tournament sort of brought to light a contrast in a way of sorts, because the women's team were given facilities for training and for exercise that were vastly different than the men's teams were given. And one female athlete took photos and videos of the facilities for male athletes and the facilities for female athletes. She wanted to point out the disparity between what the male athletes experience versus what the female athletes are offered. It's like the female athletes were being taken care of by a hired hand. And the male athletes were being taken care of by the good shepherd. They had the huge, well-appointed facility where the female athletes had a barely appointed facility. Who wouldn't want to have all the good stuff? Who doesn't want equity to be treated fairly and treated well? It's not a good feeling when you're outside the pen and observing the treatment the insiders experience. So when Jesus contrasts the good shepherd with the hired hand, he makes a powerful point. When you think about the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep, the shepherd's commitment is commendable. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. That's powerful. He's willing to give his life for the sheep. There are good benefits if you're in that flock. If you're not in that flock, then what Jesus says about the good shepherd doesn't mean anything to you. It's good for the folk who are in the pen, But folk outside the pen do not derive any benefit from the good shepherd. It's all right for the good shepherd to say, I lay down my life for the sheep. But if you're not one of the sheep, it doesn't make a difference in your life. And that's why I like the fact that Jesus, after speaking about the good shepherd, draws attention to his other sheep. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. And I like that the text doesn't say that are not in this sheep pen. The text says that are not of this sheep pen. All of the sheep are not only not in the pen, but they are not of the pen. In fact, some are of different pens. What does Jesus mean when he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen? The other sheep could be the other circles of Jewish Christians. There were other circles of pockets of Christians following a parallel with Jesus' disciples. Maybe those other circles need to be brought in. That's one way of looking at it. The other sheep could also be Gentiles who are going to be included in God's universal outreach. They are of a different pen, and Jesus is perhaps saying they will be included. Or the other sheep could be future generations of believers who are yet to believe in Jesus. It might be a combination of all three. Jewish Christians following Jesus parallel to his disciples, Gentiles who are not a part of the Jewish faith, and other sheep who are yet to come in. But I do think that Jesus definitely refers to Gentiles in this passage. Israel's covenantal charge has always been to be a light to the nations. God has always established Israel as God's chosen people to be a vehicle to reach the other nations of the earth. And Jesus' own ministry extended beyond Israel to those outside of the covenant community. But look at what's important about drawing attention to his other sheep. The point is, the pen, the sheep pen, is not limited to the sheep of Israel. The other point is, the sheepfold, the flock, is not yet finalized. The pen is open, and the opportunity is available for more sheep to come in. I like the fact that Jesus says, I have other sheep. I like that he claims his other sheep. He says, I have other sheep. Not I'm going to get, they already belong to me. They're not in the pen yet. They're not a part of the flock yet, but they already belong to me. And Jesus says, the pen is still open. This speaks powerfully to the essence of the ministry of Jesus. If you want to know what Jesus Christianity looks like, listen to what Jesus says in this passage about his other sheep. His Christianity is not an exclusive Christianity just for the Jewish community. It's an open, inclusive Christianity for other sheep that already belong to him. Recently, I read an article in Christian Ethics Today in which the author reminded his readers that white Christian evangelicals do not own the Christian story. They have no interpretive monopoly on the Christian faith. And I'm glad that the article said that. I knew that. I know many of you knew that as well. But sometimes we get the impression that their interpretive version of Christianity is the right version of Christianity, or the only version of our Christian faith that ought to be espoused out there in the world. The author also asserts that the justification of laws, the justification of leaders, the justification of behaviors that demean, that dehumanize others and divide us is not rooted in the religion of Jesus Christ. the faith, the religion of Jesus Christ speaks to the brokenhearted. The religion of Jesus speaks to the captives and speaks about bringing liberty for those who are bound. If Christians can look at the footage of the killing of George Floyd and justify the officer's actions, there is a disconnect between the faith that they espouse and the determinations that they make. Make no mistake about it, beloved. Some of us, in the name of Christianity, in the name of religion, in the name of faith, are going out and doing things that run counter to the religion of Jesus Christ. The religion of Jesus is about inclusion. Jesus claims not only the sheep of Israel, but also his other sheep. So we have to advocate for the religion of Jesus. You got some folk been saying for a long time, we got to take our country back. Well, Christians out there, you got to take your faith back. Take your faith back from these persons out there who, in the name of religion, are advocating racism, discrimination, and oppression to others out there whom God loves and whom God includes. Jesus draws attention to his other sheep because Jesus says he is forming one flock. He says, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus knows that some of his flock are not in the pen. Some are scattered. Some don't even know that the pen is available. And in order to form one flock, Jesus knows he has to go after his other sheep. Jesus isn't content to leave his sheep outside the pen. He doesn't forget them. Jesus knows, like the prophet Ezekiel, that some of his sheep have to be retrieved. The shepherd has to go and bring them in. Listen to what Ezekiel says in chapter 34. The Bible says, well, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in the settlements in the land. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. It's powerful stuff, beloved. Jesus knows that there are other sheep that need to be brought back in. And he knows that if he goes after his other sheep, they will listen to his voice. And what he means is, just as Israel listened and became a part of the covenant community, his other sheep will listen by faith and respond to his voice. They will come to the shepherd, and Jesus will build one united flock. It will be one flock, beloved. It will be one flock, beloved, and there will be only one shepherd. There will be no parallel flocks in the kingdom of God. No separate but equal set up in the kingdom of God. No white flock and then black flock. No conservative flock and then liberal flock. Jesus has only one flock, and he is the one shepherd. And all of Jesus' sheep are going to be in the same pen. And they will fall under the one shepherd. That means, beloved, the flock is going to be a mixed pen. It's going to be mixed. It's going to include Jews and Gentiles. It's going to be an inclusive sheepfold and a diverse pen. And if you can't get along with that diversity, you're not fit for the flock of Jesus Christ. The flock he has is going to have some folk in there that don't look like you. Some folk in there don't live on the side of town where you live in. He's got an inclusive flock. And they're going to be a part of one flock and one pen. You remember that story a few months ago about this black woman in Baltimore, Marsha Grant, and her 9-year-old son, Dallas, were turned away from being seated at Uzu Bay, this upscale Greek restaurant in Maryland, and how this mother used her cell phone to capture the confrontation with the restaurant's manager on her camera and posted it on Facebook. And you could see the employee telling Grant that her son's outfit violates the restaurant's dress code. Her son is wearing Air Jordan t-shirt with athletic shorts and sneakers, but then Grant turns her camera toward a white boy wearing a similar outfit who was allowed to dine at the restaurant. And she says, I can't really say why they didn't want me in the restaurant originally, but once I pointed out to the guy that there was a white kid dressed in a similar fashion, I could only imagine that it was based upon the fact that Dallas was black. And I kept on insisting that the white kid has the same thing my son has on. Why won't you let my son in? She continued holding back her tears. He just would not, no matter how much I pushed for my own son. The restaurant decided to issue an apology, saying that it was incredibly disturbing. This should have never happened. The manager seen in the video has been placed on indefinite leave. I know you remember that story. But when Jesus gathers his flock into his pen, all of his sheep are going to be included. No sheep belonging to Jesus is going to be rejected and told they cannot come in like this woman and her son were told. Gonna be nobody saying, if you're white, you're all right. If you're yellow, you're mellow. If you're brown, stick around. But if you're black, get back. Nobody will be saying that. In Jesus' pen, in Jesus' sheepfold, his other sheep will experience the blessings and protection of the good shepherd. Let me close. But I know of a former professional athlete who never met his biological father until he was an adult. The irony is, this athlete grew up in the same neighborhood where his biological father lived, and he didn't know it. In fact, his biological father was married and had a separate family in the same neighborhood. That family lived right around the block from this athlete. And of course, the father knew about his son, and some of the adults in the neighborhood knew the story. This isn't on my paper. You know, sometimes there are grown folk around you who know your business. You don't know they know your business, but when you get older, you find out that's why they treated you the way they treated you, because they called you a bastard child. They said you weren't worth anything because they knew your mama's business. Come on, somebody. They knew the story, but no one said a thing. And this biological father never claimed his son. Isn't that something? You live and play in a neighborhood which includes your half-siblings, and you don't even know it. You grow up not knowing your father, and all the time your father is right around the block. You're close, but closed off. You're connected, but have no access. And sometimes your own family won't claim you. You're experiencing what it means to go through that otherness stuff in our society. You're experiencing what it means to be the other, to be put in the other. And as bad as that is for a young boy, for this athlete, as bad as it is for him to experience otherness in his own neighborhood, it's worse when a nation does that same thing to its citizens. It's worse when a country does that same thing to the people who live in that country, who and makes those people feel that they do not belong. They don't deserve the same rights as everybody else in the neighborhood. It's worse when a country does that. But Jesus has a message for the other sheep. And the message is, my flock is open to you. The message is, I'm coming to gather my sheep because I am the good shepherd. He will not leave you orphaned. He will never deny his connection to you. And when you get out in public, Jesus won't turn his back on you and act like he's not with you or act like he doesn't know you. He won't let you suffer because he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd will come after his sheep. The good shepherd will search for the lost and bring back the strays. The good shepherd, if you're injured, if you're hurting, he'll bind up your wounds and heal your body. The good shepherd will strengthen the weak and bring them back. Thank God for the good shepherd. I'm almost done. But let me just drop this off. I know I got a little bit more, but let me just say this a little bit and then I'll be out your way. My wife and I replacing some light bulbs in the house, in our kitchen. She bought these bulbs and took the bulbs, screwed them in the socket, and the bulbs started flashing, flickering on and off. And we thought something was wrong. And then, so at first I thought it was something with the socket, some short in with the electricity with the socket. And then took the bulb out and took another one out of the same package, put it in. Same thing. It's flickering on and off, not working. Then got back to the package, looked at the package, and saw that these were some special kind of bulbs. In fact, these were some bulbs that you could attach to your smart devices and register the bulb. And if you go online and register the bulb online, you can use your apps on your smart devices and you can adjust the bulbs from your smart devices. You can remotely turn on the lights. You can remotely turn off the lights. You can remotely dim the lights with these light bulbs, special kind of bulbs. They had some special little device in them. I said, what kind of technology is this mess? Too much technology for me. Too much technology for my wife. We took those smart bulbs and put them away and went and got some regular bulbs and put them in there because we didn't want to be tracking our light bulbs remotely down the block, turn the lights on, down the block, turn the lights off remotely. Somebody might want it, but we didn't want it because I don't want all that tracking. I don't want anybody to track me like that. I know you young folk like to tell everybody what you're doing on Instagram, on Facebook, giving them updates on where you are. But folk in my generation, we don't want the left hand to know what the right hand is doing. We don't want everybody to track us and to keep up with us and where we're going. What am I saying? What are you saying, Freeman? I'm saying that I didn't like the tracking. But then on the other hand, I do like the tracking. Because there's somebody who's been tracking me all my life. His name is the Good Shepherd. He knows my down sitting. He knows my uprising. The Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Thank God for the Good Shepherd. He knows where I am. He knows where I'm going through. He knows when I need him. He shows up just on time. Good Shepherd. And I'm glad to be a part of his other sheep. Because I'm the other sheep, he'll bring me in and he'll bring you in as well. We entrust you to the Good Shepherd. God bless you. Ebenezer members and online friends, it is our prayer that the message today has been a blessing to you and to your family. We pray that God's Spirit will implant the word deep into your hearts and give you the assurance of God's love and grace. We invite you to follow Christ with us. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today. All you have to do is believe that God has come in Jesus to save us from our sins
and that Jesus gave his life on the cross, and that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. If you believe that, you are a Christian. We welcome you to the family of God, and we pray for you daily. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your story. You can reach out to us on our website at ebc3austin.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and join us each Sunday for worship. You may also reach us at our church office at ebcoffice@sbcglobal.net. Thank you so much for joining us today, and may God's peace be with you until we meet again.